I'm your host, Parker Pass. I have had a decade in schools as a teacher and administrator, had hundreds of conversations with parents who are at a loss of what to do with their teen. Before we dive into the show today, hit that like, subscribe, or follow button, and let's get this shared with as many families as needed. Our last episode centered on technology, how to reduce the amount of time kids spend on screens. Today, we're going to focus on how to fill that void by connecting with our kids. If you take something away, you got to put something in its place. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a really angry household and maybe even a mutiny on your hands. Naturally, it gets harder, more challenging as they get older. Young kids, young children are highly engaged with their parents, right? Mommy this, daddy that. They got to show you everything and tell you about every little detail. It's both amazing and exhausting in those early childhood years. However, as kids become teenagers, they withdraw, they talk less, they share less. They're more interested in being with friends than with mom or dad. And getting them to share about anything at all can feel like pulling teeth. Like, did you learn anything at all at school today? But you know that they're constantly communicating because they're always looking to go and talk with their friends, whether that's through a text message app, social media, or simply going and hanging out at their house or at the movie theater or wherever it is they're trying to go. They're always trying to communicate with friends, but not with you. And you're sitting here going, I just want to know how you're doing. Not just a good or a fine, but like what's really going on in your world. And you're dying for some connection. And your teen's not having it. The number one problem that I see with parents and talking with their teens is bad questions. Your teachers at one point in your life may have taught you that there's no such thing as bad questions. I'm sorry to break this news to you. That's not true. There are such things as bad questions, and I'm willing to bet that you're using them all the time with your kids, and you're frustrated and pulling your hair out because they don't talk back to you. Or they don't tell you anything about what's going on in their life. So the most often thing that I see is kids get in the car, and mom or dad is in the car and picks them up and is like, hey, good to see you. How was your day? This is a terrible question, y'all. Because your kid will answer it and say, fine or good. But we didn't learn anything at all. And the conversation is done. The real issue is the question is poorly framed. It's not the child's response. Your teenager answered your question and told you how their day was. Parents get really frustrated with this one because we think of this often as we might approach this with a friend, right? You sit down, maybe you go to coffee with a friend and you ask them, how have you been? How was your day? Or maybe it's a conversation like you might have with your spouse. As parents, as friends, we naturally know to share more information beyond it's fine or it's good. That's what the kind of responses we typically reserve for strangers that we don't really connect with. And the frustrating part here is as a parent, you're mad because you're like, I'm trying to connect with you. I want to know what's going on with your day. And your kid is annoyed because you're like, Mom, I answered your question. Like, it was good. What else do you want to know? To encourage conversation, you've got to ask more specific questions. And so one of my go-tos with my kids, and I always recommend this to families at my school, is ask questions like, what is your favorite part of the day? What was your favorite part of the day? That's a more specific and clearer question that is going to get a response beyond good or fine. You can't answer that question with those kinds of words. So ask questions that can't be answered in one word. You've got to have a question that elaborates a little bit deeper on what's going on. Another question I always like is the inverse of that. What was your least favorite part of the day? Now, if you ask these two questions every day, you're going to get the same answers because school is rutinous, right? They have a routine, they have a set schedule. And so each day they're doing more or less the same things, even if they're learning something new and different in each of those classes, or maybe there's a couple of classes that differ from one day to another. By and large, it's the same structure every day. So if you ask the same questions, what was your favorite part? What was your least favorite part? Then you're going to end up getting the exact same answers. You're going to be right back in the same spot. So that's where in a couple minutes, I'm going to give you some resources on what kind of questions to ask to build a little bit better connection with your kids. And then when they answer, the biggest thing that you can give to your child in that moment is actually a listening ear. Not a judgment, not advice, just listen. so many times our kids are actually desperate to connect with us, and when they try to, they get swatted away because they get corrected and reprimanded. Or as a parent, we're looking at our phone instead of actually talking to our kid. Or we are more preoccupied with the younger brother in the back seat or younger sister in the back seat that's throwing a temper tantrum than with our teen. And I'm not saying that you have to let the temper tantrum go, but you do need to be strategic about actually paying attention and looking them in the eye. And obviously don't do that while you're driving, but sitting down and actually listening to and talking with them. The big thing is listen. You're not here to judge what's going on at the moment. They're not soliciting your advice. So by and large, you shouldn't give it unless there's something dangerous going on. And you just need to listen. And one of the best ways to listen actually takes us to step number two in this. So we first started with bad questions. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about what in psychology they call mirroring. Women tend to do this more naturally than men do. So it is a skill that by and large dads, you're going to have to practice. Although I would be willing to bet that this is a skill that most anyone can benefit from to improve your relationships. Mirroring is a way of essentially taking the main idea of what the person you're talking to said and repeating it back to them. This can be done in the form of a question or a statement. Either way, the design here is to show that I'm listening, I am understanding, and I am willing to hear more information from you. So let's go back to our first example of a better question than how was your day. So if we ask, what was the favorite part of your day? And your kid responds, I really liked recess, or the more annoying recess. You mirror, oh, I hear you really liked recess. Tell me more about that. When you say that back to your kid, you're telling them to know that you're clearly listening and that you want more information. And so it can be, tell me more. It could be, what exactly did you like about recess? Or who was involved that you enjoyed playing with? And you start to build the habit of your kids sharing more information. Do not expect these two things to radically overnight in just one conversation, just like a snap. Boom, all of a sudden your kid is sharing all of their deepest and darkest secrets and asking you for advice and loves you so much. That is not going to happen. These skills take time to build, and it is consistency that is actually more important than any of the activities themselves. If you are not consistently talking with your kids, you're not going to be able to talk to them in moments when they really need you. And we'll talk about some of that in a couple of minutes. But ask better questions. Mirror their answers. And then when they give that new answer, mirror again until you get in the habit and practice of doing it well. And two, they form the habit of actually sharing more information the first time. It takes some time to build the skill, but they will figure out, hey, mom actually is talking to me. Mom wants to know. Dad really wants to understand what's going on. And so as you practice talking more and more with your teen, they will actually start to share more and more, and your conversations will get better and deeper. So don't get upset the first time you do this and your kid is like, mom, what are you doing? That's a normal teenager being resistant to change. It's okay. Keep pressing forward. Keep using these two skills to build a better relationship with your kid. They will thank you for it, even though they don't understand what you're doing just yet. One important note in this piece of having better conversation with your kids is being careful about reprimanding them in this moment. This is not a time for correction. This is actually a time for connection. If you don't connect with your kids, they will not take the correction when it is necessary. Use this moment to mirror and to listen and to focus in really on what your kid is sharing with you. Do not use this as a time to reprimand, to correct, to give advice. If you do that, you will force your kid to close in to themselves even more so. Think about this in your own life when you have been talking with your friends, or maybe you wanted to talk with your parents as a teen, and you really just wanted to let them know what was going on. And you may have wanted some advice, but you didn't necessarily want to get in trouble. And you shared your heart and everything that was going on, and you got in trouble for it. That doesn't make you want to come back tomorrow and do it again. That actually makes you like, well, if I'm going to get in trouble, if I'm going to get yelled at, and I get cussed at, which don't cuss at your kids, but it's a whole different issue. Why would I come back and talk to you? You're yelling at me when I'm trying to share what's going on and I need some help or I just want to connect. Don't reprimand your kids in this moment unless there is something absolutely just you can't resist it. And like, be very judicious about that. This should be something that's like dangerous. You know, if they might have said something that was inappropriate, that's not dangerous in itself, right? No one is going to be harmed because they said a cuss word. Not appropriate, and you can correct that later. But when they're sharing what's going on with their day, let them share. Don't interrupt them. Mirror and keep asking those kind of pointed questions, is what we'll call them, to get better answers so that kids know you're actually listening. Your teen will thank you for it. The next thing that I always recommend to families is to get a set of question cards. These cards make it so much easier to figure out what are we going to talk about. And by selecting, you know, a couple random cards at a time, you have a clear set of conversations that you're going to have maybe over dinner. This is when my family does it. We do these at dinner. You can get them on Amazon, $20-$25. It is absolutely a wonderful investment. I am not sponsored by Amazon or any of these card makers, but I highly recommend invest $20 instead of buying ice cream for the family. Buy a set of these cards, and you will be shocked at how different dinner feels, or maybe the ride in the car feels when you can ask some questions that are going to get you a better response beyond, it was fine, good. These cards are designed to have deeper conversations, and they allow you the chance to answer some of these questions that you're asking your teen. So it's not just an interrogation, it's a conversation. Don't be ashamed if talking to your kid feels awkward. It probably will if you don't have this practice already in your life. They notice it too. And the best thing that you can do is to move right into it. Go right into the awkward and continue to do it over and over again until it becomes less awkward. It's no different than any kind of physical skill, maybe like riding a bike or walking for the first time, right? Those toddlers, when they start walking, it's real awkward because it's the first time. They're not used to it. As they get better, as they practice, they become much more natural walkers and grow up and walk and run just like everybody else. It's no different with conversation. If you're not practicing good conversation consistently, you won't be good at good conversation. It's a consistency issue. So these cards really help out. We've used this in our family. We've had them about a year and we're about halfway through the deck. At first when I got them, I was like, man, this is going to last like 6 months. And then we're going to have to buy another one. I don't need to buy none of these every 6 months. What we found is we'll pull out two or three cards at dinner, and if the conversation kind of dies down, we'll ask one of the questions, and everybody around the table will go around and share information or share their answer, and we'll ask follow-up questions of, you know, tell me more, what did you think about that? Or sometimes it'll provoke a disagreement, and we'll argue, not like argue, but like we'll have a discussion then debate over dinner. And what I've noticed over time is at first, we are running through 4, 5, 6 of these cards in one dinner. Now, about a year, a little over a year using these things, we might get to 1 or 2 cards. Because dinner is so much more natural and we talk because we've become accustomed to talking. It is normal now in my house to sit down at dinner. There are no phones, there are no screens on. There's no TV on in the background. We'll play some background music, maybe. And we will talk about our day and about what's going on. And my wife will share about what's going on in her job. I'll talk a little bit about some crazy thing that happened at my job. Our older son will share what he's going through at school, what he's studying in biology class or whatever. My 5-year-old will also share about some of his friends at school. And it's become much more natural conversation to share. And it's even like, even the little one is invested. He wants to be the one to pull the cards now. And my older son will hold us accountable of, hey, you didn't answer that question. You need to go back. We need to go back and answer that. You can't get skipped. And so it's become a means of having a really great conversation at dinner. So dinner's not just this silent, like forks hitting plates and everybody smacking all the time. Like, that's a terrible way to eat dinner in silence. I was listening to a podcast the other day. And the average American dinner today is 12 minutes. That is astounding to me. If you look back at the research 100 years ago, the average dinner was an hour and a half, because people would spend the time, they would eat together, they would talk together, and they would spend time getting to know and connecting with one another. Today, in 12 minutes, you haven't had a meal, you've only eaten. You've got to spend those meal times actually having a meal together, eating and sharing food, sharing conversation, sharing connection. These are things that your kids desperately need in a world that has gamified all connection into a series of likes and retweets. Your kids desperately need that family connection to keep them balanced in the world. The last tip that I want to share with you is one that can be really challenging, and it may not apply for every single kid. It's how do you talk to your kid when they're already in trouble? Maybe you got a call from the school principal that they've done something, or maybe you caught them in a lie and it's very clear and evident that they've been caught. How you ask kids questions in that moment can be really crucial to getting new information that you don't have that can keep them, their friends, or their classmates safe. And so I want to walk through a little bit of what you do in those moments to get the information that you need. So let's say situation most commonly that I find at school is we've caught a kid with a vape or with some form of drugs. And in the conversation, it's come out that it is clear he got it at school. That means someone else gave that vape to him. As an administrator, this is a big danger to the school environment, because that means that someone else is either distributing or still has drugs on my campus, and it is my job to find that and keep kids safe. In these conversations, the way that I ask the question and the way that I don't say anything makes all the difference in the world as to whether the kid will respond or not. So I phrase it up with, who gave you the vape? And then I shut up. Humans are naturally social, and that silence is terribly uncomfortable. It's really awkward. And the natural inclination is to fill the silence. So if you ask the question over and over again, without leaving any response time, the kid only has to shut up and just wait for you to get tired. And so they won't give you the information that you need to go keep the other kids safe. And in that silence, I'll sit for 2 or 3 minutes completely silent with the kid, and I will look into their eyes. That silence is the Lord doing work on their soul. That is the weight of the guilt of the mistake that they have made, pressing on them to share the information that we need to make sure that we get a hold of whatever other vape that is out there and can keep the rest of the school safe. The last thing that you want to do in that situation as a parent or as an administrator is get loud, yelling, cussing out. All of those things are not useful in helping the kid feel comfortable enough to share what's going on. It's a really touchy subject because you have that friend connection between the teens, right? They don't want to be the snitch. They don't want to get their friend in trouble. But they also know it's the right thing to do. And they know that what they've done is dangerous and is wrong. And so you've got to leverage silence to actually get the information that you need. I would strongly encourage you to do this with your own kids, whether it's you come home and something is broken. Sit them down and ask, what happened? Don't ask, why did you do this? Don't ask, what were you thinking? How could you do that? That why and that how could you are very accusatory ways of phrasing your question. In the moment, you're really just looking for information. What happened? We can talk consequences later. But when you're just looking for information, you're not ready for consequences yet. So you've got to actually ask for the information you're looking for, not set them up for the consequence. I'll talk about consequences in another show, but rest assured, we don't just find out what happened and then don't give consequences in my house. The kids get consequences for their actions, right? That is natural and normal, and they need that to learn. But well, that's a whole separate show. This is really just about how do you have that conversation? Because it really should be a conversation. You as the adult have to regulate yourself. And if you are deregulated, then you need to hold off on having that conversation until you can have it in a calm way. Because you're teaching your kids how to act with your actions. If you are upset and yelling and screaming and cussing and throwing things, what do you expect them to do later? If that is how you teach them how to react to adverse situations, to challenges, then you should not be surprised when they get in trouble at school because they threw something and yelled at the teacher. Because you do that as a parent. If you react calmly and unfazed, and hey, I just want to understand what happened so that I know my next steps, you teach them to react calmly and to understand what are the next steps. Those your kids will catch more of your behavior than they will listen to the words you say. They pay very close attention to how you act. And if your actions don't align with what you tell them, you're a hypocrite, and they know that. They won't ever tell you that, but they know it, and they see it. And so if you expect them to be calm, but you yourself are not, you have a problem. And that's a problem that only you can fix. You cannot rely on your kids to fix that, because it's not their job to fix you. It's your job to guide them. So to wrap up this episode, we talked about bad questions and good questions, talked about how to use mirroring to keep the conversation going, and how to avoid the reprimand in the wrong spot. So don't correct in that moment where you're trying to connect, right? The mantra, connect, don't correct. You can correct at a different time. There's plenty of time for it. And the last two things that we touched on, get a set of question cards. It's a really fairly cheap investment to build a whole new connection relationship with your family. And then lastly, we centered in on how to use silence when your kids are already in trouble to get the information that you need. Hope you enjoyed the show. That's it from me this week. Bye, y'all.